Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live from beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Tonight's show is called The Lotus Paradise, and my guest this evening is going to be Douglas Newsom from BloggingService.com and LamasBeauty.com. And I'll spell that last one for you, L-A-M-A-S, Beauty.com. And check that site out. That's a site that both Don and Douglas are involved in, so it's neat to see what other things they are doing as well. So check that out, LamasBeauty.com. And I also want to mention to check out the TNT Radio Blogspot. It's tntradio.blogspot.com. Check it out and tell a friend, because there's a lot of work being done to give you a different angle on the news. What we do there, I do the show on Mondays now, and Nevin Campanella does it the rest of the week. And we search the blogs and find news stories and give you what is hopefully an unfiltered perspective, because anybody anywhere could post something on a blog. So it's completely uncensored, unfiltered news. And so that's kind of the mission of this. So check it out, tntradio.blogspot.com. And as always, visit the creativecosmos.org website, see what we're doing there at headquarters. And, of course, bbsradio.com. You're already here if you're listening. I'd like to point your attention to a couple of upcoming guests. If you visit the creativecosmos.org site, I have them listed. On February 10th, we have author and psychic Scott Christensen from www.connectwithscott.com. He was kind enough to give me an email reading that I found interesting and insightful, so I think you'll enjoy that. And on February 24th, inspired artist Jerry Wenstrom and the phenomenal music of Marilyn Strong and their website, if you want a heads up and check it out before the show, is handsofalchemy.com. There are going to be many more guests coming up in March, so check out the creativecosmos.org site for details and links to all of that of which I mentioned already. And I'm also, I hope this works out, I'm also working on getting an amazingly insightful spirit warrior on the show who sat in the presence of Buddha himself 2,500 years ago. His information would definitely expand your mind, so stay tuned for details on that. And if you'd like to call us this evening, the number is 1-888-268-4313. Again, I'll give it to you. 1-888-268-4313. Or for international, 281-419-7697. And for friends of Creative Cosmos, visit into the Harmony Live chat, which you can access just below the media streams on the bbsradio.com site to chat about the show as we go. And sometimes after the show, I pop in and say hello to the people who are chatting there. And now it is my honor to welcome writer, entrepreneur, meditator, and friend of the creative cosmos, Douglas Newsom.
Woo!
Hey.
I love that. Every time I listen to your show, I think, oh, gosh, I've learned something new. And one of the shows, you went, just let it out, let it out. So every once in a while, I just go, whoo! And it just makes me feel so good. All my energy just vibrates.
Yeah, it does feel good to do that. And then once you get used to, you know, you do a couple bursts, and pretty soon you feel some energy flowing, and next thing you know, You're free as can be.
Oh, boy, I feel free right now. I'm tingling all over from head to toe.
Yeah, I felt my vibration going up just before the show. Looking forward to having you on.
Well, thank you, Chris. Boy, I got to tell you, I'm so glad you did call me on to be on your show, because out of all the people that I've had the pleasure of meeting, there's not too many people that really walk with the sort of a spirit that you do, Chris. And the show isn't about putting somebody up and somebody down, but I got to tell the audience that there's very few people that you meet in your life that hold such a strong aura of presence and love for everything around them that it's almost like a walking Buddha.
Wow.
And I really feel that when I speak to you and I communicate with you, Chris, and I'm honored to be on the show, so thank you very much.
Wow, thank you. That was a great introduction. I feel like a guest on my own show. Wow.
Eight, eight, eight.
888 268 4313 Oh, I just knew we were gonna have fun, man. I didn't set up much of a structure because I just wanted to just enjoy it. We've been having some nice phone call conversations, and now we get a chance to let the audience in on it.
Yes. Well, let's see, a couple of great conversations. One we had was really about the idea of people out there with a spiritual presence, and maybe 10, 15 years ago, there really wasn't a place or a forum that they could bring their information forth, and in many ways they felt alone.
Yeah.
Like, I have to change the world. I because it's my purpose now. I mean, when you reach a kundalini, in many cases you define your purpose, and then that purpose says you've got to do something, and then you find out, well, gee, am I alone here?
Yeah.
Who else feels this way? And so
definitely,
that's one of the reasons I'm excited about Blog In Service and the opportunity to speak to people like Chris, because it's a network of some of the most intuitive, beautiful personas that you can capture in one area.
Oh, I know. It's totally changed my life. And I had some good perceptions before and good realizations, but just coming into all these people and all these ideas and all this positive energy, it just blows you away what happens.
You know, for example, one of the things that we've been speaking about is that more and more people that come to these programs and shows and introduce themselves to us is really that there is far greater numbers of people that are spiritual, or at least with the idea of a oneness, that we're all combined in some way, than I ever really realized. And personally, now that I notice this even more and more and more, I'm finding that they're probably your next door neighbor. Your best friend might have an inclination towards this, and you just may never know. So it's spreading far faster.
Yeah, it's an idea that's just growing. I think people are just, when they find it, it's almost like a relief. It's like sweet relief to understand that.
What, 100 years ago, if we could have found maybe, if we can even recognize 5 or 10 names in the world that might have been spiritual at that point, but in today's society, I mean, you could probably number them in the thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions.
Yeah, and that is directly to the fruit of those few people that, you know, I like to recognize in Creative Cosmos some of the great spirits who did pretty much work alone, you know, in the darkness to try to keep the truth alive during those long, hard years before we could reach out the way we can today.
You know, one of the things I think you believe in this, the 100th monkey dynamic.
Oh, yeah, I'm aware of that. I wrote an article once called The 100th Monkey Must Be Playing With His Banana.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I did. Just kind of as a play on, like, come on, 100th monkey, let's get on with it.
Well, that's probably the thing that motivates me the most, knowing that you don't need to change the entire world. You just need to kind of help other people see this. When you reach some sort of a critical mass, not maybe it's 51%, maybe it's 10%, but once you reach that particular group of people, then that information almost travels instantaneously to the collective.
Right, like something in the subconscious suddenly moves out.
Triggers! Yeah. Wait, matter of fact, we were discussing this point earlier about what the trigger points could be. What triggers a Kundalini? What drives a person what do you need to do or read or learn or practice to get to a point where you're having a spontaneous combustion?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was definitely one of the things I wanted to speak with you about on air here. Like how to get that. I know you have amazing realizations and I have, and we've shared the beauty of that with each other. And we just like you and I, we see the beauty of life. And so we see the beauty in each other and we're in harmony naturally.
Yeah.
And it's just seeing the world with a sense of wonder. We both do. And I'd like to share that with other people. I think that may be one of those, I guess that's a trigger in a way that we open in that way.
You can almost think that when you get older, let's say you're 80 years old, you stop to think and you stop to wonder and you stop to read and you stop to learn. In many ways, what happens, it's not when you get older that you seem to die. Maybe there's a correlation. When you get older, you're 80, 90 years old, your body falls apart. But I think in many respects, if you see an 80-year-old and he reads a book every day, or he's wondering about something new, or he's questioning something else, or he's just wanting to be alive because he's in pursuit of something else, that keeps him young. It's like the cells say, okay, I don't want to die. I don't need to deteriorate.
Uh-huh.
And that person is much more useful even at that older age. So I think in many ways it's the pursuit of something else that keeps us alive.
Yeah, the growth process.
Growth.
And allowing for change, I think, because that, I think that's one of the things many of us are coming to, and some, it's becoming obvious now that, change is the way of the universe and we have to be able to move with that to be happy.
You know, it's funny. I see change coming along, and in all these years, there's so many masters that have laid down foundations for change or systems of thought. But just a couple days ago, I'm thinking, boy, some of those systems of thought, people must think, okay, there's a situation where you've got to go to school, you've got to learn it, and there's a master-student understanding. And I was, this has been puzzling me a while, master-student understanding. That kind of gives the idea that there's a right way and there's a wrong way and
if you don't mind here, there's one thing about the master concept, I think, that people sometimes, I wrote a tune once called The Master is One and the Same. And I think one of the things about the master and student relationship is that, the master isn't a master over the student. The master is a master of himself or herself. And if the student is there, a good master will be in every way trying to empower the student to become a master themselves.
You know, that's the same conclusion I reached. I kind of worded it a little differently in my mind. I was thinking, okay, a spiritual master is the sort of person that'll build the tools but won't instruct you in their use, but will rather give you the kind of self-empower you or show you the idea that freedom and self-expression with those tools are wonderful. Not here's how you have to use it, but here's the tool. Have the freedom to use it and self-explore.
Exactly. And that doesn't have to wait till you're old. That can be early. That can be young. We can foster a new idea, a new way of just relating with each other and the young people and everything with that kind of a backdrop of just, friendliness and empowerment and fostering the natural course of things.
It's almost like a kid in the school. When you're young and you're in a school and the teacher says, there's Johnny and there's Sally in the classroom, and Johnny, he gets an A on his paper and Sally gets a B. Well, the teacher, in many ways, the teacher is showing that there's a right way, not just Johnny's way, but the teacher's way. And the idea of, no, that's wrong, and this is correct, in many ways, not in the truest, well, maybe in the fullest sense of the term, might be stifling. For me, I've always thought, you know, if I was to approach a student and they did something that might not be correct, at least in my opinion, now it might be correct for them, I might say, have you, you know, Sally, that was a wonderful job you did. Have you thought about this?
Yeah, exactly. You don't ever put an end on it.
No.
It's just a step towards learning the process.
Right. Right.
I agree totally with that. You know, it's the judgment that stops it up, and then it stops the flow in the kids, too. And that again and again, they get so many of these things, and then pretty soon they've lost spontaneity and that wonder that we were talking about just a moment ago.
Yeah. Almost like saying a kid when you see something. This is a hard example, but let's say you have a child, he's 12 years old, and he's walking down the street with you, and you see a mugging taking place, and a person gets shot. And then you tell the child, don't look at that. Well, what you might be introducing to the child is a principle of fear. The principle that the child shouldn't look at that and say, what's wrong with that? Why did that person do that? Why, you know, maybe that person was a bad person or he did something wrong, but the kid doesn't ever analyze it. He shuts the door.
And
so
that,
he never speaks to himself. It's like, you can't speak to yourself about that. You got to shut the door because I say, no, don't look there.
Exactly. And that can create a lifelong blockage, a diversion of energy that the kid never gets back, whether it's that kind of incident, which you said, or any number of possible situations that could occur, that phenomenon of hiding it from the kid or saying some things are unbearable or there's just some the unknown aspect or the secretive aspect is far more horrible than the reality.
It's like when you have a young boy or a young girl, 5 or 6 years old, and they have the invisible playmate. Why tell them that there's no such thing? Why tell them they can't, you know, I love this. It's almost like, everybody sees movies about this where everybody's chastising the young child for having some invisible playmate. Why?
That's been kind of the default societal position, hasn't it been? I mean, as far as I know, that happens all the time. I go out somewhere, constantly see parents shutting their kids. It's almost hard to just walk through a store or something because you almost feel like it's just hard to just watch all that stuff.
Oh, and then later when they do finally do free up, when you come to the realization that there is no wrong way or right way, that's a polar way of thinking. Imagine, and I know you know this, but the polarities exist, but they're fluid. It's like a fluidity of line from one end of the spectrum to the other. It's one line.
Right. You just have to be able to observe both and not make that judgment which pulls you into it or not identify with it.
Right.
Right. I often say that to just, you know, to observe that or see, this is what I say, see yourself outside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have those words at your disposal. And they aren't rigid when you carry it to its fullest extension. They just become possibilities which the source energy can run through in order to communicate whatever you feel inspired by in the moment.
Yes. Christy, you have all this understanding. And it's so great to hear a person understand freedom of a person. The inner master we all have just waiting to be called upon makes those answers known to us. And what's relevant to each of us may not be relevant to another, but that's simply, you know, the idea that if everybody, is there more than one dimension? Well, if I'm a person, a dimension would be a record. I'm a record. Well, I'm playing my own music. I'm the needle playing my own record. Well, right above that is your record. And it's playing its own music, and above that is somebody else's record. Well, we each live on our own record, each living within our own dimension. So does that mean that your dimension has the same rules as my dimension? Only if you allow me to take away your power, perhaps it really doesn't, but if I'm taking away your power, then your dimension isn't your dimension fully.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of people's dimension isn't their own dimension because they've long ago acquired some habit or belief that they've forgotten was put there from the outside somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things I was noticing, Chris, this is why your music, your words. They're so beautiful, and it actually got me thinking. Even before, you know, as a person who has an awakening, you find that your thoughts, you really penetrate more questions. Questions become, what's the deeper meaning of it? I mean, if there was a word to mean anything, spirituality to me means deeper, deeper, deeper. It's like any word, just take it deeper. Any feeling, take it deeper.
Right. There's no end.
There's no
end. It just goes deeper and deeper, and that is the living experience.
Exactly. But your work gives a person that impetus to move deeper. And I was thinking, you know, what would be, like, bringing back the first topic that I was, you know, we got to a couple days ago, was the idea of what is the catalyst to, let's say, unlocking your DNA to becoming an Einstein. You might think, oh, well, what happened to Einstein? What did he just see pattern one day and wake up and go, bingo, it was all there? Kind of, he really did. But what would do that to somebody? What would make you go bing, and that would open up? And I liken this to the idea that there are certain expressions, modes of expressions that appeal to us, that draw us in, that pull at us, that pull us. What does
that mean? They resonate with certain materials. We get drawn, either the materials get drawn to us that we need, or we get drawn to the materials.
Right.
And sometimes I even refer to that, you know, there's that Zen saying, when the student's ready, the master will come. Well, sometimes the master will come in the form of a book, or whatever the moment brings to you.
Yeah. It can happen to anybody if they just say it's possible, and if they believe it, and they look for it, and they ask for it. I believe that every single human being in this world, you know, to me, the key to spirituality, there's two keys. For me, one, love. Two, meditation. Now, meditation can mean a lot of things. What's meditation? Well, talking yourself to meditation. Laying back and just being one with everything is a meditation. Projecting a sunbolt from your forehead out to the middle of the universe, becoming one with the wind around you. There's a million ways to meditate, but it's almost like that is a catalyst. And the second catalyst would be kind of the bonding agent between you and your higher parts. Well, if you don't love beyond yourself, how can you love your higher parts?
So it's
like love would be that cat. Those are the two most important things, I think, for change within the person. They can do it any way they want to. You know, I'm not telling anybody what to love or how to love. And I'm not telling anybody how to meditate or what to meditate on.
You're just suggesting possible ways of how to get those openings.
Correct.
Those openings that make the magic possible.
Spark that match.
Yep. All right, let's take a little break for the tune. This is the perfect time we're talking about this, because we're trying to make the Lotus Paradise clear to you, because it's here and it's everywhere, every moment. Here we go with the tune, a new tune by me, premiered. Well, I think Don played it a couple times before, but premiere, let's call it a premiere tonight, Lotus Paradise.
We are a part of a lotus paradise made of love, so all the future Buddhists grow. Now you know why you're here. Be sincere. We are a part of a lotus paradise made of light, so all the children learn. Beyond the dream, life's dream, liquid, and like flowing, a song of God, jubilant knowing, for once, your soul is glowing. Full of hope that we will earn a better way. Begin today, all things are new. Your heart.
The tune. I had a lot of fun. Sometimes it's hard to tell. You know, the tune just drops out, and I say, here it is, and there it was. So let's keep working on creating an atmosphere where realization becomes possible.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas, how do we make this a part of our everyday life?
How do we make this a part of our everyday life? You know, for me, I got a feeling that reaching higher understanding is almost like a pulling. It's almost like a drawing from you. You actually draw into something. You get pulled into it. You imagine, everybody wonder why there's a black hole where it sucks it in.
No.
Kind of like a whirlwind sucking you into
it.
Yeah,
I do think about black holes sometimes.
Well, like a white hole or black hole, it's kind of like a circular spiral motion, like your DNA. It spirals and goes up. And I keep thinking that the human nature is like a planet revolving around a sun. If I take a piece of paper and I put it in the air, the planet revolves around the sun, kind of in around, but with no real dimension, just like in a flat plane. It goes around and around the sun. But we know other dimensions exist above it, so it kind of draws it up. But when it comes to information, the same thing happens to the human spirit or the soul. To give you an example, if anybody's ever gone to an art gallery and just been consumed by a piece of art, that it literally pulls you into the art itself.
Yeah.
It's drawing you, isn't it? It's like a
right.
Pulling.
Oh, it's a doorway to another realm.
Like music. You actually can get so lost in music, it's like you go beyond time and space. You're out there again. Everything else is not meaningless.
Yeah.
So it's drawing you again. So I keep thinking that the key would be, I mean, for a lot of people, if they could feel this sensation of drawing, it would be like if you were a speck of air, a dust on the ground, and a whirlwind came along, and it just started to pull you up in a circular motion, a spiral upwards. That would be kind of the feeling of, well, even a dimensional change. Like, say there were a portal. Let's say we could step from one portal into another dimension.
Yeah, let's talk about these dimensions. How do we... There's a lot of talk out there about dimensions. Let's get into that a little bit.
I know. I get the feeling a dimension is like a ladder. You look up, and we all are looking at the first rung of a ladder. We can't quite touch it. We're on one rung of a ladder.
Uh-huh.
Right above it, there's another rung, and we can see it. Some of us might be able to touch it. But that upper rung has been, if we had a 50 dimensions or 5 dimensions that we could, or 12 dimensions, whatever you want to work in. Now, I can go in mathematically and tell you my understanding as to what dimensions there are. But,
yeah, I hope you do someday.
I figure out there's around 12, but some people say 9 or 11, and then there's some people that say 6. It's just a dual motion where you have 12. But Let's say that the rung above us has 12 to the 12th power. Because it really does. I mean, imagine, if God is infinite, it wants to express itself infinitely. So it's got 12 to the 12th power. Well, that's just one rung above that. Now, the ladder goes on infinitely upwards and infinitely downwards, and here's the killer. What if there's another ladder going to the right of it, like on a horizontal plane? So you not only have rungs going upwards, you have rungs going to the right of you, other, like a three-dimensional ladder.
Right.
To me, that is like mind-boggling. What we think we know now at this level would be infinitesimal to the rung right above us, which would be infinitesimal to the rung above that, which none of us can see.
Right, and it's all just space to travel around in and enjoy, at least how I see it.
And how do you do it? And the funny thing is, we're the people defining those rungs. We do. They might have been defined before to some degree by some higher intelligence or the Creator, but what the Creator is giving us is the opportunity not only to understand those rungs, but to express ourselves and to almost define them as we go. What do I mean by define them as we go? Everything comes back to a singularity. So everything is one. There's a definition there, but there's no limit to how many times you can break one apart. You can cut one up, you can make pie.
Right.
So one can go in infinitely in any direction.
And one isn't necessary. And you got to conceive of one as, sometimes in the East they don't call it one, they call it not two.
Not that good. Almost Zen.
Yeah, it very much is. It's so like people, you know, like sometimes you think, yeah, you can hold one in your hand, one of something, but this is like just all pervasiveness.
Mm.
Just clarifying like the one. So like you, because even the word one, you can like think you understand it in your mind, but is that we have to even make sure we take care that the words don't close the doors, but just remain open, and we don't grab onto them.
You know what I think dimensions are? Here's a dimension. Space is a dimension. Space. Physicality. Physicality, the touch. I mean, the three-dimensional world is a dimension. Time is a dimension. Well, how about if you have those three dimensions together and you pull out time and you have just space and physicality? Well, is that another dimension?
I definitely think so. I agree that the next stage or the next level in the raising of dimensions definitely involves time.
Well, what if there's a period where there is no time? Well, there can be a dimension with, here's a dimension, consciousness. Here's another dimension, no consciousness. Here's a dimension, your emotion. It is a dimensional element that you impose upon a situation. Here's another dimension. Lone, totally alone, no part of nothing. All you are is one, and that's the only way you understand yourself.
Yeah.
Here's another dimension. Infinite parts.
And I think, you know, you mentioned that point earlier. Let's kind of, I don't know, I've been coming up with this new thing where I like to lock in concepts, like so that we just, like some words are predefined, but sometimes we can take a phrase and kind of lock it in and have an archetypal meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like these power phrases that just, when you get exposed to them, I think that's one method, like what you're saying, of awakening the DNA. I think you can encode words in such a way that they awaken something in you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And you spoke of the, you spoke a couple times of seeing the word for our world from the aloneness. And how you have your world and everybody else has their world. So it's not like there's one collective external reality that is concrete, but it's simply the perceptions in each person's energy field.
Yeah. But I think in many respects let's say you had to attain, you became like God.
Okay.
At your highest level, you're God. Well, to be God, it's almost like a total unity of oneness. So there's nothing, there's not two gods. At the highest, you might call it God and then creator and then force and I am, but let's say there's not two I am. There's one I am. There can only be one. Well, in order to be I am, You'd have to be put in a situation where you're separate. You're still a part of, but you have to think you're the only I am.
Does that make sense? The I am that you think you are is the I am that I think I am.
Right, but that dimension, that has to be a dimension because it's an awareness principle.
Right.
It's an awareness environment. It's a whole new set of things would come to you based on that sort of a environment which only allows for that understanding. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess, what is a dimension? To me, there are numerous dimensions, and I can get, you know, I can spell them out, but it's really what it, if you were unconscious, what's unconscious? Well, a subconscious, is that a dimension? Is conscious, well, a dream state, is that a different dimension, isn't it?
So, yeah.
But now you're mainly into your subconscious.
The subconscious can be sometimes the repressed higher dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Like where you said, like the dream is like the positive form of the subconscious.
Yeah.
Where the subconscious is almost like can almost be like the reverse. So it's, you know, I'm kind of just showing how they're connected in a way. Subconscious and the dreams.
But in your dreams, there's no sense of time, is there?
Well, I look at it like in the dream, there's like a warped sense of time.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I've woken up exhausted because I lived a really long time, like weeks in a dream. Or I've also, you know, it's like, wow, I experienced, or the other way around. It can be really quick or really long or all kinds of things. So I kind of think of that's a attribute of the astral plane. That time has a different feel there.
It would be kind of a, like, here's one. Is dualism a dimension or an environment within a dimension? Right? Because in a situation where there was no dualism, would that be a dimension unto itself? Would we have to understand that dimension?
Well, I think some people live in the dimension defined by dualism, and then some people live in a more expanded dimension free of dualism.
Right, that's true. But it's almost like two different environments that you'd live in or two different dimensional
two different realities, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's just fun understanding. You're kind of feeling, but when you really get down to it, you know that it's all unified under one expression. It's one. It's kind of, where did we all come from? If you can imagine God being this big blob of
Wow. Of
protein, protons. And you know what I love? I got to tell you this, Chris, because it always bothered me all my life. I went to school and university, and I remember reading Descartes. I remember the teacher saying I had to read, you know, Descartes' treatise on I think, therefore I am, and try to explain that.
Uh-huh.
Well, I hope somebody out there tries to read Descartes, because if you ever read that document, you will go through one page. And I'm not a dummy. Even when I was a kid, I wasn't a dummy. I would read a paragraph of that, and I'd get to the next paragraph, and I'd go, what did I just read? And I'd have to reread it, and I thought that, by the way, that was a turning point in my life, because when I was my first year in university, I went very, very young. But at that point, I thought, boy, I must be a dummy. I just don't get it. I'd read a page, I'd have to go back to the first page. By the time I was done 20 pages, I didn't know where the hell I was, didn't know what he was saying. Am I a dummy? And from that moment on, I thought, up until, you know, a while back, you know, there are people out there that are so much smarter, I must not be able to have the comprehension ability to get it. But here was his premise. I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I am. I now understand it. I am. Now I think.
Yeah.
You got it all wrong.
Yeah, the other way is like putting the cart in front of the horse.
It never made sense to me then, but now I get it. So for God, if he's like all this intention, and he's like just let's say static protons, what would he do? How would we want to make those molecules move? How would he want to make them? What sort of force would activate the protons, let's say, in the air to structure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sound, frequency, right?
Vibration, yeah.
Vibration, some sort of pitch. Ah! Just think of it. A baby's born, the first thing it does is screams. Ah! Well, just like everything, it has an amp, It has waves, amplitudes, waves. It's like everything has, every atomic particle or subatomic particle has a spin, which creates its frequency. And every frequency basically means it has sound, right? It's spinning, it has a sound.
Yeah.
So sound is a unifying thing. It literally, by the way, cures everything. Electromagnetics is just another wave amplitude that we can hear, sound and electromagnetics, which we can't really hear. But it's the only difference between a rock and sunlight is the speed at which the molecules are moving, really, the frequency.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, okay, sound moves everything. Sound is kind of like a force unto itself. But what outside of that? That's kind of like everything has a vibrancy, so sound links it all. Just imagine the universe is a blanket of sound. Okay, then, but what force shapes that sound? Remember, God goes, ah! Okay, now what that force shapes that sound? Well, it would be, God must be shaping it with his thoughts. Because you got him not even thought, but just his awareness, whatever you want to call it. So thought is the gives shape to that particle or proton. But how? And then, by the way, I can take you into this deeper, but this is the sort of things you think about when you get a little bit of spiritual enlightenment. Things that you would have never thought about ever in your entire life, you start figuring out, you start questioning, you start wondering.
It just starts sometimes appearing in your mind, or the revelations just start making themselves known.
In the past week, I've been trying to figure out how to harness energy. Remember, we just spoke about this earlier. We were talking about how to create free energy.
Yeah, definitely.
Five years ago, I would have thought, what? That's insane. Free energy? Come on. I wouldn't even have been able to begin to think about it. But now it's something I think about, and within a few minutes or a few hours, I've got a concept that comes to my mind.
Yeah, that's one point too. You know, once you start getting those streams, you have to allow them to follow through, because sometimes they don't immediately become formed. Sometimes you have to work with them and see them through and nurture them and, you know, just go along and see where they're going.
It's like I always say this, when a person becomes enlightened, almost like, I shouldn't use that term, I should say, if you reach a process where you have a kundalini or everything, all your chakras open up, you'll know it if it occurs.
Right.
You don't really know what it means. You feel. You don't have to explain. It's just there. It's like God says, okay, here's a third arm. Boom, there you go. Nobody else can see it, but you know you got it, so deal with it. And that from there you learn what it means. It's the same with knowledge. We know every human being has within them the knowledge to everything you've ever wanted to know, but you just can't express it yet. You don't have all the gambit of words and everything to say, ah! That comes in time.
Yeah. You can open up to almost anything in the universe. I think that's what the human condition is. We're like conduits or portals, or just we can become open pathways for all kinds of different things to flow through. And the key is that we learn to process it all and differentiate it all and see, okay, this comes from here, this comes from here, this comes from here, this comes from here. Because I think sometimes, especially when you're starting out on the path, they burst up a level, or they suddenly open up to something new, and they get so much hit them at once, and they maybe think it's just all spirit, or it's all this, or it's all, you know, but you have to start learning the ways of those realms, that you get a force from here, a force from there, a force from here.
Yes, it's almost like the idea that it's like, imagine right above you is a library. Right above your head, 6 inches above your head, is a library. So whenever humanity comes up with a new idea or a new philosophy, you think, oh gosh, you know, I love these people. Oh, I'm the creator of that, and I can channel so-and-so, and it's me doing this. You know what I mean? But what really is the case is all the information is in the library above you that is infinitely larger than the human understanding, and all we've done is we've created a hole between us and that library. So it flows into us. We're not the creators. We're just expressions of what creation is.
Exactly, yeah, and that shows another way of using information as well, that we don't have to memorize it or hold it in our brain. We just need to learn how to access it.
Yes. and that makes me almost like a giddy, like a kid. People wonder, dog, John, you sit there and you talk about things. How do you get this information? I tell them, it's almost like now I don't need to read a book. I can almost sit on it and I know the content of it. But it's only because I ask for what's in the book, and then I become silent, and I let it come to me. The word, it comes to you late. Just got it.
And like you said, the key point is that you accept that it's possible for yourself. You accept that it can happen that way.
And that seems to be the way it's happening for most people that reach some sort of a level of awareness. It's just awareness of a connection to something greater. Every time we talk about a connection to something greater, it's like, well, the library's greater. Well, that's a connection to something greater. You could put your mind around anything you want it to be. If you want to connect to Buddha, create the portal.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Exactly. I say this example sometimes about, like, sometimes a conductor, when conducting Beethoven, will try to think, all right, well, what was Beethoven's trying to do? And he tries to figure it out in a mental way. But that which created Beethoven is still there, live and vibrant right now. And you don't have to think. You just be Beethoven.
Boom, 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 boom.
Just, Beethoven, you know?
Yes. By the way, that brings to a funny point, because you remember we were talking about earlier how you were discovering with Nevin that you might be the incarnation of the frequency of Plato?
Yeah.
You remember that? We were discussing this, and honest to goodness, I get a kinship for the idea of Aristotle.
Yeah, at first it's like, wow, but then, if it fits, it just starts sinking in and you can't escape it almost.
Here's what I'm thinking now. I'm just taking it a little deeper.
Okay.
I love these conversations. Don't you wish you guys could have conversations like this? Think about it. It's so enriching and so wonderful and so beautiful. It takes you to so many levels and you get so giddy afterwards. I'm thinking, okay, well, if somebody told me, you're the reincarnation of Aristotle. Just imagine a person tells me, I really don't understand. I go, okay, I'm the reincarnation of Aristotle. So I open up a portal to Aristotle and I become what somebody says I was the reincarnation of.
Well, yeah.
Could that be it?
Well, but one thing is, though, that your life, you were saying, you in your life had always been drawn to Aristotle and read his works, and you said that you even embodied a kind of a mindset that Nevin and I were just speaking of. Well, that we were speculating, kind of like because we wanted to find Aristotle, because we were speaking about him being Socrates and me being Plato, and then I felt all of a sudden in my heart, as Plato sank into me, I felt in my heart like this pain from Aristotle from the past, because Aristotle kind of went his own way, and Plato and he had a little bit of a falling out in their lifetime.
Yes.
So if you are indeed Aristotle and I am Plato, let's put all that behind us. I love you, man.
I love you too, man. After all these thousands of years, 2,500 years, hey, we come together again.
All right.
I love that.
Yeah.
And for the common good.
Yeah, it makes sense that we would.
Yes, it does. It does. I can't imagine a lifetime prior to this where I've been as happy as I have been now. Because it seems like all my old body, all the energy that has always been necessary up until this point is now coming at the perfect time, at like an apex of human evolutionary understanding and conscious awareness. It feels so right. And it's like all been a building up into these moments for me.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It seems like, things I didn't even know were the groundwork for what's happening now, I did long ago. Just kind of like and it's funny, you hear it again and again. People say that just kind of kicked in and they just started doing it. And now we're finding out exactly why.
I want this for everybody out there listening. I truly with my, you know, my brother. I got to start my hats off to my twin brother. If anybody doesn't know how hard my twin brother, I remember working for 12 years, 80 hours, 100 hours a week, and I used to think it was a nightmare, and it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Mind you, it's okay now. I'm able to put it in perspective, but my brother's been in that nightmare now for almost a year since he's been building this. He works night and day and night and day. Has four children in a three-bedroom apartment, 1,000 square feet, with his wife, no money, no, and he works his tail end off. And I think to myself, you know, the only thing that hurts me, the only thing that makes me feel, I'm his twin brother, I mean, he could go out and probably get hit by a car. I'm the one who'd feel the pain, but it hurts me because I see so much love and so much energy being put out to help the world that it cries to me, Doug, do the same, get in there, try to help in any way you can. And really, that's the passion that I'm going to be putting forth towards this project. And I've been trying to as much as I can. Mind you, I have Llama's Beauty to run and
right.
to do, but and everybody does. But I encourage everybody out there. Everybody, if you truly love the idea of having people love and care and connect and not judge, because let the judgment be, everybody is their worst judge. You tell a kid to give himself his own punishment and he really thinks about it, he'll be worse than, himself a worse punishment than you would.
Yeah.
And in the world, that's how it works. They will judge themselves. Don't judge them. Love them. I'm thinking everybody out there that has that sort of an understanding, that really wants that depth, join us! Get on Blogging Service! Tell your friends! Because this information will change you. It'll change you. You won't help but have a lighter step, a sweeter beat to the music. It will change your life. There are people that write in all the time. I get, somebody gets like 400 emails a day, and I can tell you there are people who write in that say, something happened to me. All of a sudden, all the lights went on, and bingo, I was sitting there crying for 30 minutes. And now I can never be the same. That happens. It can happen to every single one of you. It's happening every day. 1,000 years ago, it might have happened to one person in a million. Today, everybody it's happening to. Why not it be you? And if you find that it's happening, join us. Join us. Get on Blogging Service. Talk about your feelings. Share it with the world. We have the forum.
Right, and then if one person does that, and just those around them, if they see that person take it to the next level and feel empowered enough to express themselves, and it starts giving you a whole new feeling about yourself, and you that's one way you discover who you are, is by externalizing the ideas that come through. So we need to, you know, myself, I got in the habit of just like every time inspiration came, I moved with it and allowed it to find form, and that makes room for the next. And then you reflect upon that, and then you change, you gain experience, and then you create something else,
and
you reflect on that, and you grow, and you change, and then somebody, you share it with somebody, and they share it back with you, and you find people resonating at your same frequency, and then you compare notes, and you're lifting each other up, and then suddenly, now you're discovering something new about yourself, and you find another friend, and, you know, and like you, they're on blogging, and
your whole world's changing, your whole friend base. Anybody who gets that sort of a frequency, as they change frequency, you were just telling me this earlier. God, different people are coming into my life. Different doors are opening up. This is really unique. It just happens. You resonate with people of that higher loving frequency, and your whole world changes. New friends come into your life. You can't even believe why some person just gave you a call and they changed your life. And it just starts changing. It's like a snowball. What you think you've... 37 years of life, I've learned more in 5 months of my life than I have in all 37 years prior to this 5 months. And it's like an exponential equation. It's the same with the friends I'm around, the people I'm around, the doors that have opened up to me. It changes and it grows exponentially. Your whole world just becomes brighter and more beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, we really are... all becoming friends, or many of us are. I mean, we talk on the phone, we email each other ideas, new things, and it's like I suddenly have a whole world that supports me and loves me as well.
And your goal is to tell me, what's your purpose? You knew it instantly. You know, you've known it for all this time. It just immediately hit you when this occurred. What's your purpose?
Resonate the truth.
Resonate the truth. Empower the people out there to feel their own power of connection to this loving abundance of infinite everything. Just to give them what you've been given, right?
Exactly. Tune in and, I try to demonstrate it in everything I do, just, you know, in a gesture, in a word, in a picture, in a song, as many ways, because like what you said, you know, there are triggers, and different people are triggered by different things, so I just try to encode as many things as possible, and just in the hopes that maybe we can get through to the next person.
Because to us, every day is Christmas. When I go to Christmas, I'm looking under the tree. I'd hate to be the guy with all the presents and nobody was there and I was opening them up. But number one, I'd hate, if you were on an island, if you could have everything but you're all alone, would it be worth it? Well, if you had everything, wouldn't you want to share that? At Christmas time, do you find it more empowering? Would you enjoy the moment more when you open up a gift somebody gives you, or the sparkle in somebody's eyes from the gift you've given them? Well, everything is a gift. And every time we can give something to somebody and see that sparkle in their eyes, and every time I move into the world and I move into an environment where there's people about and I feel that, I just feel that. I walk into, let's say I'm going to a store and I'm going to buy some food. And I walk into that store. The first thing I'm thinking of while I'm walking in that store is, gosh, I hope my smile, the people in here can see it. Oh, everybody is so beautiful. Look, I'm just emanating love towards the people out in the into the store.
Right. There's never a time when you're not an ambassador of the divine.
Right. And you'll be so, and you know this comes with surprises. People come up to you right out of the blue and smile and say, hi, how's your day?
They do.
May not have ever happened before. Or you might come up 50 cents short on a cash register at a government establishment. And they're never going to give you 50 cents. But because you walk into that post office and you were 50 cents short, the postal clerk says, hey, no, don't worry about it. Here, let me pay for it. Or you look down on the ground. For some reason, there's 50 cents under your shoes.
Right there, and you know, like you say, you know, there's no roles. There's only human beings, and that post person is a human being, and a person here and there and everywhere. They're all human beings, and you can touch them sometimes if you shine that light in their direction.
It's almost like they're just you in a different state of being.
Yeah, now we're back to the I am. Boy, we could go on and on and on.
Forever and ever and ever.
Yeah,
I love
and we'll have to have you back, any time on the show. You're an honored guest and good friend.
Thank you, Bruce.
And say the word. And
Bruce, you're so, thank you kindly for having me on your show. My heart goes out. You know, Chris, right now, if you can imagine this, I'm standing there right in front of you, grabbing you right around the shoulder, and I'm giving you the biggest hug. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks. Yeah, man. Feels good. I'm glad that you guys are friends of mine and that just that we're doing all this.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a miracle. And, I'll wrap things up here. If those of you out there listening haven't read any of Douglas's thoughtful writing, go check out the new section on the bloggingservice.com site called The Author's Inkwell. And there are many new people that haven't necessarily posted in other places of the site that are in there, and they're creating a really nice atmosphere. So go check that out. It's the new site section on the bloginservice.com site called The Author's Inkwell. If you go to the main page and just search a little way down the left choices, the left menu bar, you'll find it, The Author's Inkwell. So it's been a great show tonight. Thank you for listening. And I felt it was appropriate to wrap the show up with a song of mine called Holy Spirit. Good night, everybody. I will not.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.